Great. Just turn to Matthew 25. God's kingdom is positive. Everything in it is positive. There is nothing in God's kingdom that is negative. There is no criticism. There is no undermining. There is no negativity. There is no sickness. There is nothing in God's kingdom that is negative. If you are a Christian here today, then you are in God's kingdom. You have Christ in you, and you are in Christ. And God wants us to live in the fullness of his positive kingdom. Now, we know out there that there is a negative kingdom which represents whatever the enemy's doing. It represents whatever many people live in that are not at this point born again. But God wants us to live in the goodness, in the fullness, in the success, in the health, in the liberty, in the freedom, and in the life of his kingdom. God does not want us in any way, shape or form to live in the effects of what we used to live in, or what might have been true many years ago, but God wants us to live in the fullness of everything that he wants for us today. Now, as a church, we're in a season of time where God is speaking and moving and working, but also in our personal lives, we are in a season personally. Now, God wants us to enjoy the season that we're in. God wants you to enjoy the season of your life that you are in today. God does not want you to look at the next season and say, that's where I'm going to find fulfillment. That's where I'm going to find what I'm looking for. God wants you to live in the fulfillment and in the fullness of his kingdom life of Christ in you, and whatever that means. He wants you to live in the fullness and enjoy the season that you're in today. Let's just read Matthew 25 here. Very well-known parable of the talents. We want to just read quite a few verses, and then we're going to kind of pick some things out of it. Jesus is paralleling the kingdom in three different stories in this chapter, but we're going to look at the second one here. Again, he says, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey, and the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. And the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now the man with 2 talents also came, and he said, Master, you entrusted me with 2, and see, I've now gained 2 more. And he got the same reply. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share in my happiness. Then the man who received 1 talent, he came, and he said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. and throw that worthless servant out into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's funny how we put letters in the front of some words, isn't it? And you're teaching your kids English and they say, why has that got a g in front of it? Why doesn't it just say gnashing? Well, there you go. We have a great language, don't we? The whole world should speak in English. And everybody said,
amen.
Here we have a story that Jesus is telling three people. They all had the same master and they were all given talents. It's interesting that they were given talents, he said, according to their ability. One was given five, one was two, and one was given one. But depending on their view of themselves and their view or perception of the person who gave them the talents, that determined the response, the thinking, the actions, and what they did with what they were given. Two of them, they knew their master was a hard taskmaster. They knew what his expectations were. They knew that whatever this guy did, he made money. He was successful. He was going on a long journey. He was entrusting all of this he had to these guys. So he was a successful man. And these two first guys said, well, we've been given talents. Let's put it to work. Third guy, same master, was given something. But something was operating in his life that was greater than his own ability to do something. Fear and failure were stronger in his thinking, in his emotions, in his view of somebody else. Fear was greater than his own ability to do something with what he was given. One of the things that God wants to do this morning is to lift off every sense of failure, every sense of fear or even guilt that we may have or tries to stop us or attack us or have its way in our lives so that we don't come into everything God wants us to come into. He wants to lift off all that sense of failure and fear and guilt so that we live in the fullness of who God has called us to be today. So that we live the life that he wants, that we're not looking over our shoulder, waiting for the carpet to be pulled from under our feet. We're not living looking over our shoulder, saying, well, my experience says this, but yet God is saying that. God wants us to live free from the effects of whatever we've lived in from the past, because we know that that's finished, that the old has gone, the new has come, that we're a new creation in Christ. But God wants us to live in this season and enjoy it. He wants us to have the fullness of life today and not be looking to the next one to have that. Now, I'm just going to talk about different scenarios I felt this morning God wanted to just touch on, and he wants us to be free in these different areas. Now, there might be here some mums, some housewives, and you love what you're doing. You just love being a mum. You love being a wife. You love just being a housewife. I know some words these days have become like a bit dodgy to say, you know. But you just love being a housewife. You love being at home. You love looking after the kids. You just know that's your niche. That's your thing. You've just found in this season of your life, however many years that season is, that you just find you're right in the niche. You love just building, you know, God's goodness and God's life into your kids. You see them growing as little oaks of righteousness and what's beginning to happen in their lives. And you just find you're in a season that you just know this is it. This is where God wants me. Now, at the same time, there might be some other mums here, some other wives and housewives that where you just feel like you've stepped off the highway of life, and you feel like since you've become a mum, you've kind of just, life seems to have gone on hold, and you're struggling in terms of being a mum. You just, it's different than you thought it was going to be. You don't necessarily feel fulfilled. And in some ways, you've begun to see what you did have before as real freedom. And maybe the next season of your life, you're going to find that freedom again. And you're wanting to find that freedom, and you want to find that place, that niche that you have now in this season of time. But just things have become, you've become weary. Things have just become heavy in your life. And God wants to lift off any sense of unfulfilled. He wants to lift off any sense of failure. Maybe some of you, you've seen your kids grow up and they haven't become what you thought they were going to become. And you live in some ways in the back of your mind, maybe with a sense of failure in some way. Well, God wants to lift that off today. He does not want you to live under a sense of failure, under a sense of unfulfillment. He wants you to, with the grace of God on your life, be the greatest, the best, amazing mum, wife, whatever that he has called you to be. Because he wants you to enjoy the season that you're in. But for some reason, you just found whatever it might, you're just not really enjoying this season in your life. Maybe in the workplace. Maybe some of you are at work, you're at work and you do the job and you just can't wait for the bell to go at 5 o'clock or 5:30, whatever, that, okay, home time, clock out, I can get out of this place and just get into the rest of my life. And maybe your workplace has just become a place of unfulfillment. Maybe there's a sense of pressure. Maybe your boss, bless him, is not being the kind of the best boss that he can be. He's a blessing in disguise, literally. You haven't seen it at all anywhere. But, you know, you're waiting for that. You know, God, you said my boss is going to bless me. And you're like, I'm having to be in faith for that. And maybe everybody at work's giving you a hard time. There's a pressure there. There's deadlines. And people get telling you you're not very good at this or you're not making the mark there. Maybe you see yourself as a one-talent person in the workplace. And God wants to change that. He wants you to enjoy the season that you're in. In your workplace, he wants you to know that at this time, at this season in your life, that's where he's called you to be. That's where he wants you to be. That he wants you to prosper where you are. He wants the place of work to be a place of blessing because his grace is on you there to be a blessing to all those around you, to be successful in that workplace. And to know that God's hand's on your life there and that he can turn what you are not enjoying into a place of fulfillment. Now, and this is where God wants me in this season. That I don't need to look to the next season or to another job or another situation to give me that fulfillment. But God wants you to enjoy the journey where you are today. Maybe some of you are single. And you're looking for the next season. You're waiting for the next season. Say, well, one day when this happens or when that happens or whatever. And you're saying, you know, how long is this season going to last? When am I really going to step into what God wants for me? Some of you who are single look at getting married as the moment that once I get married, then I'll be fulfilled. Or that is God's best and all that. God's best is to be right where he wants you at any given time in your life, enjoying the season of what he's doing with you right there and then. How many of you are married know that marriage in itself does not fulfill you? Those who haven't put their hands up, just be honest. But the only place you find true fulfillment is in God, is in him. I mean, great, it's great being married. Please don't get the wrong end of the stick. But the real fulfillment is being at the right place at the right time in your life, exactly where God wants you. And some of you that are single, God wants you to celebrate and enjoy the season of life that you're in. And God is working his plan and purpose out in your life at this time. And he wants you just to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I really like you. And even be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say that I love you to yourself. That it's not necessarily somebody else looking into your eyes saying that. It will actually give you what you think that will bring. You know, God has called us as Christians to live a healthy life. And we need to encourage each other. Of course we do. We need to speak and encourage and strengthen and affirm things in each other's life. But that kind of deep internal sense of fulfillment and peace only comes from knowing the Lord. And so for some of you that are single, God just wants you to know that at this season in your life, this is right where he wants you. You could not be in a better season. And he wants you to have such a fulfillment and such a knowing that he's got you right where he wants you. Maybe some of you today have been sick for a period of time. And there's a cycle of sickness that has gone round in your life, and you're thinking, man, I just want to be free of this sickness. I want to be free of this cycle. I'm not enjoying this season of my life because this season represents something that I don't want to return to. In one sense, the focus of this season of your life has ended up being on the sickness and on the issue, the problem, than actually where your life could be going. And one, God wants to heal you and break that cycle of sickness this morning. Amen. But also he wants you to enjoy the season that you are in at this time. And not just be saying, well, once I get to the next season, then maybe I'll be healed. God wants you to receive something from him this morning so that a breakthrough happens in your physical body today. Maybe some of you just in the general circumstances of your life, things are just difficult, things are hard, and you feel like you're going through a season where you just things are just tough and things just don't seem to be going the way that you want them to go. Maybe some of you, there's things that you want to see happen in your life or you wanted to move into in your life, but either a sense of failure or fear or something that's happening in your life has stopped you from moving into that fullness. Because you're afraid, if I take that step, will it fail? Some of you have experienced things in the past where you've done stuff and you feel like you've failed, or you're living with a sense of guilt, and then therefore to step further into what God has for you, there's a sense of, well, if I do something and it fails, which it is likely to do, then I don't want to be back to where I was a little while ago, and I feel like I'm getting out of, but I feel like I'm trapped between wanting to step into something more with God, but not wanting to fail, but I don't want to go back by not moving forward. And God wants to lift off that sense of fear or that sense of failure, and for some even a guilt of things happening in your life, that God just wants to lift it off because it's a false guilt that is trying to affect your life. Why? Because God, in all these things, wants us to live in the season of life that we're in and enjoy it and love it, rejoice in it, celebrate it, and have a great time. Maybe some of you actually feel the season that you're in at this time is the best season you have ever been in. Maybe you're thinking, man, everything's going well for me. You know, work's great, finances are great, family's great, friendships are great. Everything's going well, everything's humming. But in the back of your mind, maybe there's this thing, I wonder how long this is going to last. Because sometimes everything can be going well, or things have been a struggle, then you come into a season of where everything's buzzing, everything's cool, everything just seems to be clicking and happening. You're thinking, wow, this is great. I just seem to be being carried along here during this time. But yet, in the back of your mind, I wonder how long this is going to last. I wonder, and there can be a sense of fear or sense of, I wonder how long this will last before I'm back to where it's really tight financially. Or I wonder when it's going to be, you know, when, anybody live like that? Don't have to put your hands up. But sometimes it's like that. And God does not want us to live with a sense of failure or fear or guilt or things are going to turn out in a bad way. God wants us to live in the goodness of his kingdom life. If everything in God's kingdom is positive, anything that comes our way that is negative, in one sense they're obvious, but so often maybe we're not quick to deal with them. Just turn to 1 Corinthians 9. Just going to read a couple of things in here. However you perceive yourself, however you think about yourself, determines how you act. How you see the season that you're in will determine the way you think, the way you feel, the way you speak, the choices you make, how you perceive the season. The guy with the talents, the one guy who was in fear, that dictated all of his actions. The other two, they put to work immediately what they'd been given, and something began to happen. Let's just look what Paul says here in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete? I'm reading this from this particular one from the Amplified Version. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. It's a great way of putting it. Run the race so that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Now, every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessing that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly without a definite aim, and I do not box as one beating the air and striking without adversary. But like a boxer, I buffet my body. I handle it roughly, it says here. I discipline it by hardships, and I subdue it, basically so that he can just submit himself totally to God and for God's purposes in his life. Now, it's interesting what it says here in verse 24, that there's a race. Every runner competes, and every one who competes wants to win the prize. And then he says, run your race or run your life as though to win the prize and make it yours. Now, we're in a race together as a church. And within that race together, which if we run it together, we all win and we all have victory in that sense. But also within that race, every one of us is running a race. But that race is not in competition with anybody else. That race isn't against one another. But the race that we're running is the call that God has placed in our lives and upon our lives, that we run the race of that call. And how we judge how we're doing is by the fruit of what is happening in our lives. It's not about winning the race, because you're not actually competing against anybody else. Running the race is running that life that God has given us to live. And then he equates to that, that if we're going to win the prize, the crown that is an eternal one, which is fruitfulness, that we need to be healthy, that there's, in one sense, some disciplines, the things that we put on our lives that enable us to walk in the things of God. Just turn to Colossians chapter 3. Okay, there's lots of bits to this morning. It'll all come together in the end. Okay, so just hold in there. Colossians chapter 3. The title of this section in the NIV is Rules for Holy Living. And everybody went, oh no. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Is that positive or negative? Set your hearts on things above. Positive or negative? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, positive or negative? Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Or which one? For you died and your life is now hidden in Christ with God. It's pretty good. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. Put to death, therefore, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Is that... what's positive? Putting it to death, right? Cool. Then it says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Nobody knows now. Oh, I don't know. Well, the wrath of God sounds pretty negative, but actually, yeah, the wrath of, you know... What do you think? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. The wrath of God is not a nice thing, is it? Hang on a minute, I haven't finished. You need to press your button for answer. Beep, beep, you know, and then I'll come over to you. Right. Okay, third row, fourth seat in. The great thing is, God does not want to come in his wrath to deal with people. But because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Those that repent, believe, get right with God, receive the mercy of God, and then live in the grace of God after that. But if people don't turn from this kind of living, then the wrath of God then comes. God does not want to deal with people like that, because that's why he came. And that's why Jesus went through the cross, so that mercy, grace could be received by everybody. Anyway, let's carry on. Verse 7. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self and have now put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, or Horshamite or West Sussexite, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Is that positive or negative? Bear with each other. Just turn to the person next to you. I'm bearing with you, brother. Or I'm bearing with you. And I'm forgiving whatever grievances you may have against me. That's what it says in the next part of the verse. It's amazing how down to earth the Bible is, isn't it? I mean, look at this verse. It says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Now, if that is not practical, then what is? Then it says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these things, over these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Positive or negative? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. What is that? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. How many of you know that if you don't live in the good of the kingdom, there's no way we can fulfill this word that says here, whatever you do, whatever in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything God does is positive. Everything that the devil does is negative. Now, how do you live a holy life? Well, Paul has just described it there, isn't it? You know, when people start talking about holiness, what's your first response? So if I stood up this morning and said, right, we're going to talk about holiness this morning, how many of you would have actually gone, oh, no. Or, no, here we go again. How many of you would have gone, hallelujah, holiness, come on, bring it on, you know, all that sort of thing. But Paul spoke about holiness for 17 verses, and everything he's just said is totally positive. Well, why? Because everything that's just been described is kingdom living. And if we live that kingdom life, then everything we do is positive. Everything we do has a positive effect in our lives. So if we deal with those things that were listed there, we cut off any effect of those things in our life and we step into the goodness of everything that God has for us. You know, every day of the week, every moment of the day, or many moments throughout the day, we're faced with choices in our lives. Somebody says something, and it's quick to respond with a negative answer, or to chuck your 10 pence worth into the conversation. And in one sense, if we kind of think in our minds, well, if God's kingdom is positive, and everything else is negative, then it's pretty easy to see, how do we make choices in our everyday life for holy living? That if there's a conversation at any moment that is negative, or it undermines somebody, or it's attacking something, then we know we're not actually in a conversation that is to do with a kingdom. We're in a conversation actually it's to do with another kingdom. When something happens and there's a response or an attitude that begins to rise up in you and you think, right, I'm going to go and have a word with that person and just tell them what's what. Are you going to step into the negative kingdom, as it were, or are you going to step into the positive kingdom and say, right, I'm going to let that go and I'm going to forgive them and not hold anything against them? Well, actually, when we think about it, it's pretty easy, isn't it? Pretty simple to understand what is kingdom living and what is not. Whatever season of life you're in, or whatever season that you're going through, God wants you to have kingdom living, kingdom life in that season. Paul in Colossians, Corinthians there, says that every athlete goes into a strict kind of training program. And in one sense, what we've read in Colossians is Paul's little training program to live a holy life and to live as a kingdom person. What does he say? He says, put to death. How many of you know that when you put something to death, it is dead? It has no life in it. So he says, put to death. He doesn't just say put to one side. He doesn't just say ignore. And he doesn't just say prefer this over that. He says, put to death whatever belongs to the sinful nature. So if there's a decision to be made, what is he implying? He's saying if we make a decision that is towards a negative thing, we're actually speaking of something that represents death, that has no life in it, and that we're going to begin to communicate something that doesn't communicate life, but it communicates something that is dead and has no life in it. Therefore, it's destructive, not life-giving. How many of you, there was a book out years ago, I don't even know who it was by, but it's called What You Say Is What You Get. Years ago, probably in the 70s, charismatic movement. And what it was about was positive confession, not just positive thinking, but using the word, what you say is what you get. It's about speaking the truth over your life. Now, when you speak the truth, you're speaking of what is of God's kingdom. You're speaking and declaring that over your life. But if we declare anything that is contrary to the truth and to the kingdom, then we're speaking of that which has no life in it. I don't just mean you're talking about the news and what's on the, what we're talking about is what we confess, what we speak, what we do with the words, the attitudes, the heart motives and all those kind of things. How you see the season that you're in will determine whether you live more in the kingdom, the positive kingdom, or whether you see yourself not really in a positive kingdom, but in a situation where it's sucking and drawing life from you, rather than being a season where it's a life-giving season. And God has called every season of your life to be life-giving. Because every season of our lives are lived in the positive kingdom. And in God's positive kingdom, or if we're just using the word positive to highlight what his kingdom is, but in this life that we have of the positive kingdom, there's no room for anything that speaks or represents death and wants to draw and suck the life out of us. Amen. Some of you, maybe recently, from the last 21st century conference we had in November, we had Kurt Erickson who came to speak. And I think it was the first meeting of the whole thing. The title of his message was the Valley of Weeping. And he was basically speaking about God's heart for people and for the lost and for all kinds of different types of people and the effects of life and things people have been through on their lives. And he talks about the Valley of Weeping, a place of intercession and a place where God's heart is kind of being revealed and working through our lives. And in some ways, it was one of those kind of meetings that I walked away thinking, that was great, but there must be a lot more to it than that. And over the last few months, I know myself, I know Jane, my wife, and I know a number of others in the church that I've spoken to, have had a sense of, I don't really know how to describe it. Cole Beach, a couple of weeks ago, when he was here, described exactly what I've been feeling a bit. I know my wife had been through it to a greater extent than me. I know some others of you have. He put into words really what has been happening in people. And a number of people that I've spoken to, and particularly my wife, had a sense of heaviness, a sense of being aware that people that are coming into our life, our lives, we're needing to love and to give to and go the extra mile with in a way that we haven't had to before. And having this sense of, I mean, let's use the word burden at this point, having a burden for these people, but at the same time having a sense of a weightiness or a heaviness with it, where you're aware that you don't love people enough, or there's another dimension of love that God wants to release. There's a burden, I'm finding it hard to describe it, but there's a feeling going on where you think, God, am I all over the place at the moment? Or is this something you're doing in me? Is this you, or is this, you know? And when Carl Beach was here a couple of weeks ago, he, at one point, when he was planting his church in Essex, he was driving into the housing estate, and he just had this sense of, I want to give up. This is just too hard. I haven't seen a breakthrough. What's the point? And he just felt like he was all over the place. And God said to him as he was driving in, do you really want to plant this church? And he said, yes. He said, if you really want to plant this church, he said, what your feet sensing is my heart all the time. This is how I feel. My heart aches for these people that are lost. So what you're feeling is my heart. And you're going to have that all of the time. And in one sense, he put into words, I know what some people have been feeling, and at that moment it was like, wow, that's the valley of weeping. The valley of weeping is like a burden, a sense of God's heart for people. And I believe, you know, God gives you a burden like that for a period of time, because I think after a while you probably can't take it, and he kind of lifts it a bit. But there's a time where, I know, talking to some of you guys and Jane and myself over the last few months, particularly Jane more than me, but this burden, this sense of such a love for the lost, but yet an aching for them that physically hurts at times. It's like a physical thing. It's not just a spiritual thing you sense in your spirit, but literally like an aching. Now I know some of you have going through that kind of burden at this time. And some of you are thinking, man, what's going on with me? And you haven't necessarily recognized it as a real burden from the Holy Spirit, but you've been like, what's happening? Am I all over the place? And what God's doing is he's breaking something on the inside so that treasure that is within can actually flow out in a fresh way. And some of that is just to help us understand that as a season, as a church, as God has bringing people to us, and as in our lives and our workplace and all the context of our life, as God opens up our eyes more to the reality of people's lives, that we can't just walk past them anymore, we can't just work with them anymore, we can't just be around them anymore and live our lives out here and their lives over here, increasing there seems to be a burden that the Holy Spirit is putting in our hearts, and you can't ignore the people. It's not that we've been nasty, horrible or anything like that, but there's something of God that is being broken open in a fresh way in us. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And that's part of a heart for the lost and a brokenness that is taking place. And that phrase, the valley of weeping, seemed to kind of sum that up. So what on earth are we talking about this morning? How does all this work together? God's kingdom is a positive kingdom. Everything that God does in our lives is positive. We live in seasons in our life. God doesn't want us to be looking to the next season to be the fulfillment or to the answer. God wants this season that we're in now to be a season that we love, a season that you enjoy, a season that you just know you're right where God wants you at this time. And as part of that, God wants to lift off any sense of failure, any sense of fear of where you're going, fear of people, fear of failure. That one talent man, or the man with the one talent, he had a certain perception of himself. He had the same leader, the same ruler, the same boss as the other two. But because of his perception of himself, he acted in fear. And not in freedom. Fear was bigger than in his mind than the ability in his own life. And God has placed abilities in your life and in my life that are much greater than fear, much greater than failure, much greater than guilt and shame. But because maybe of a perception or something that's going on, fear or failure or guilt has been magnified to say, well, you're nothing, you're not worth anything, who do you think you are? And in some ways, we're looking at somebody else's race that they're running, saying, man, if I could just run their race, I'd be successful. If I could just have that bit of their personality or that character that they've got, then maybe I could, you know, I would just step over this problem I've got, because they seem to bounce over everything. And God is saying to us, I don't want you to run somebody else's race. I want you to run the race that I've set before you. I want you to enjoy the journey. I want you to enjoy the season that you're in. I want you to celebrate this. I want you to have a liberty and a freedom. I want to lift off every sense of failure, guilt, shame, or fear, whatever might be in your life, so that you live in the fullness in this season, you live in the fullness in the next season, and you live in the fullness in that you're not dragging that which is in that season that you're still in into the next one. Because actually what we find is in every season, God works in us from one degree of glory to the next, making us more like him. And there seems to be a time in a season where things do plateau a little bit, because it's right to go into the next season. But what we don't want to take into the next season is what we drag in from another one. Some of you, God really does want to be able to look in the mirror and look at yourself and say, I like you. And look in the mirror and say, I love you. That you like what you see. Maybe physically, but when you look into your eyes, you look inside your life, don't you? Sometimes it's one thing looking in the mirror, putting your makeup on, not that I've had experience of doing that, but or you look in the mirror doing your hair or brushing your teeth or whatever to, you know, make, you know, I don't know whether you look in the mirror and you brush your teeth or not, but whatever you're doing in the morning, you know, you look in the mirror, but most of the time it's just to get this done, get that done, and make sure, you know, a few things like that, and or you just, whatever you're doing. But do you ever stand there and look at yourself? I don't mean, you know, if I put on weight or not, you know. But do you ever stand there and look at yourself and say, man, I really like you? I don't mean you look at yourself and say, I'm the coolest person on the planet. Look at me. And you kind of, yeah, you're a cool dude, you know. But actually, do you look at yourself and say, I love you. I like you. Because God wants us to be able to do that. God wants us to be at peace with ourselves. And there is no reason why we can't be. There is no reason this morning why you cannot be at peace with yourself today. You don't need to go through the doors taking any sense of failure, any sense of fear, any sense of guilt, anything like that, because God wants you to live in the fullness of everything that he has for you today in this season of your life. If you're a mum, God wants you to rejoice in that and for you just to love it. You have not stepped off the highway of life into something that you've got to do. If you're a mum, God has got you right where he wants you. It's the best place to be in this season of your life. Just imagine, you can invest in your kids. You can, they're little oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. They are a blessing. What you put into them and what they're going to live for the rest of their lives. Man, what an opportunity. But God wants to put such a sense of peace and fulfillment. I'm right where God wants me. What a great place to be. At work, God wants to do the same thing. Some of you guys, God has placed in places of influence in business. There's entrepreneurial giftings. And God wants you to know that those things are from him. Don't think that other things are more important and are placed in a higher priority in your life than giftings and things that God has put for you in your workplace to influence in boardrooms or with entrepreneurial things and creative giftings to start things and to create wealth or whatever for the kingdom and all that sort of stuff. You know, that's a gift that God has put in there. And some of you know that it's like God's given you 2 talents or 5 talents. There's things that you look at, maybe even in the church here, but you look at in your work world and you think, man, if they just did that, that company would go boom to the moon. If they just did that in this company, boom, it would do that. And some of you have got that opportunity, but in some ways, for some, there's a little bit of reticence. within that? Does God really want me to use that gift in that way? Is that just a natural thing that I use, or is that a God-given thing? And God wants to release you to know that the gifts that he's placed in your life are there to glorify him. It's to reveal who he is into people's lives. Some of you have got possibilities where you're applying biblical principles in your workplace, in your company, or some of you I know have got where you're consultants in different ways, and you know that God has given you understanding of how to apply biblical principles in your consultancy and the way you can influence companies and people's thinking and ultimately their lives and what life is all about. And God is saying, man, I've got my hand on you, you're anointed, I'm gracing you to go into places where people wouldn't come anywhere near a Christian, let alone a church. And I'm putting you in places of influence to bring my kingdom life in there. So enjoy the season that you're in. Enjoy being a person that can influence and shape people's lives. That is a spiritual setting for you. That when you go in as a consultant, you go in as a kingdom person. It is because you're a person for the Holy Spirit. It's your spiritual life in action. It's not just your work world over there and then suddenly, well, when am I going to do something kingdom? Where God has called you to work and to be is kingdom life in action. And God loves it. He graces you for it. He anoints you for it. And God wants you to prosper in that situation. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Yeah, can you just... We're going to pray. God wants us to really bring some freedom into people's lives, where there's a sense of fear, where there's a sense of failure, where even there's a sense of guilt, where you just know you're in a season and you're not enjoying it. You want to be in another season. Some of you, maybe there's maybe not so many, but some, maybe you look at other people at your age around you and you look at them and say, man, they just seem to be really fulfilled. And I just don't seem to be. Well, God doesn't want you to look at others. He wants you to have that his fulfillment in you in the season that you're in at this time. Amen. God hasn't just called us to look at tomorrow and what's coming tomorrow. Because how we step into tomorrow is determined by how we see today and how we live today. See, there are people out there that need a harvest in their life. But their harvest is going to come from your fruitfulness. God has called us to live kingdom life, which is healthy. You know, we don't want to talk about so much how do you grow a church and how do this, but how do you have a healthy church? If you have a healthy, vibrant church, it will grow. If you've got a healthy, vibrant body, it grows, it develops. But if you try and put things into your body, things that aren't natural in there, if you try to inject things and put to make it pump up, to make it, you make it grow in a way that's abnormal, and that has adverse effects, and it will catch up at some point. But God wants a healthy people. If we're healthy spiritually, if we're healthy and disciplined in other ways, then we have a healthy body. And the harvest in people's lives, many people's lives out there, is going to come from the fruit that you bear in your life. And they're going to taste something of the fruit in your life. And they're going to say, man, that tastes good. I want that. And because of the fruitfulness in your life, people are going to taste that. And then the harvest is going to happen in their life. And then they are going to become fruitful themselves. You see, what happened in that parable of the talents, the five that became ten and the two that became four, the master said to those two guys, hey, great, well done, good and faithful servants. Come and join with me. Enjoy your master's happiness. He said, come and work with me. I'm raising you up. You're not servants any longer. You're going to be partners in the business. Come and join me. Come and help me rule and reign or work or lead this whole company. Come and, you know, enjoy what I have. And it's like God's saying to us, there's things that I'm doing and things that I want to do, but I want you to step up and come and work with me and join with me in overseeing what I'm doing and working with me, to see the fruitfulness, to see the harvest in people's lives. And he wants to deal with one talent thinking. I'm nothing, or I'm a failure, or there's too many fears, or I feel guilty. And those things in some way have become stronger than what you know is in there to step in, but those things have had an effect that then has caused you to shrink back. And God wants to just deal with those things this morning. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody this morning, but I believe that when people need to respond and come to the front. We're not going to pray personally for people, but in making a step and coming to the front, that failure, that fear, that guilt is going to be broken from people's lives. That if you've been living in the season you're in, but you feel unfulfilled, or you in the different categories we've talked about, or the way we've described it, you know, a mum, and you just feel like things aren't happening for you, or you're single, or in the workplace, or whatever it might be. Even some of you that are married today, you have a sense of my marriage just isn't really, it's just not, and maybe you've been looking for your husband or wife to be the fulfillment in your, that you went into your marriage expecting your husband and wife to actually be the fulfillment for you, and you've found that they haven't actually met that in the way that you thought, because ultimately that true peace and that real fulfillment comes from him. And then we bring a fulfillment into our relationships that we have. So if you know you need to respond in any way, if you could just be like the five and the two talent guys who at once they went and put what they had to work. If you know you need to respond, you know you want that failure just to be broken, that fear to be broken, that guilt to be broken, that cycle of sickness to be broken, all those things, just come to the front now. We're going to pray, take authority over these things. We're just going to see these things broken off our lives, because we want to live in this positive kingdom. We want to live in the season that God has got us in at this time. We want to enjoy it. We want to run in it. We want to be healthy in it. We want to be vibrant in it. We don't want to be in competition with anybody else, but just knowing that the race that God has set before us is right where God wants us, right in the groove with him, right in that running lane that he's put us in, and you're running that race out knowing I'm right where God wants me. It's a place of freedom. It's a place of joy. It's a place of life. It's a place where the grace of God is at work. There's a grace at work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Firstly, what we're going to pray is we're just going to, firstly, just get our hearts right and just ask the Lord to forgive us in any way. You know, sometimes when we are in fear, it's because we place ourselves, our own abilities, in a higher place than what we know the Word says. So we just want to make sure just our hearts are there, and we're just going to take authority over failure and fear and guilt, because they are not part of us. So just pray, first of all, just ask the Lord to forgive, you know, you've been fearful of others. You've been afraid of others. You've been in fear of failure. Just say, Father, I ask you to forgive me that I've feared failing, or I've feared other people. And so therefore, I haven't stepped out. I haven't done some things I know I should have. And there's a sense of guilt in my life. I just want to throw that off right now, because I know guilt is not part of me. It's not part of your kingdom life for me. Father, so I just let go right now of all the sense of guilt, all the sense of shame, any place, any way that I felt like I've failed, I just let go of that right now. I choose to cut it off of my life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're kingdom people. Kingdom people have kingdom authority. And as we exercise kingdom authority, then all these things, they have to obey the commands that we give with that kingdom authority. They cannot stay in our lives. It's impossible. So just begin right now. You know the issues, the situations, whether it's failure, fear, guilt, shame, whether it's that sickness, whether you just know you're in an unfulfilled time, but just take authority over that failure right now. Command that to get off your life. Break that off your life right now. Fear, just tell it to go right now. It has no place in you, because you haven't been given a spirit of fear. You've been given a spirit of power, so you can take authority right now. Father, I thank you that Your freedom and liberty is ours. And we take authority over every sense of failure. We break that right now in Jesus' name. Every fear of moving forward, every fear of man, fear of reputation, fear of whatever steps that might cause us issues or problems, we bind every fear right now. We break that in Jesus' name. We take authority over guilt. We cut that off any life right now where there is guilt being attached to people's lives because of anything that's happened in the past. We cut that off right now in Jesus' name. Be free right now from any guilt, any sense of shame from the past. You've repented. The slate has been wiped clean. The old has gone, the new has come. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we cut off every lie from the enemy that says you're not forgiven, you did this, you did that. Well, shut your mouth, devil. We're not listening to any lies anymore because those lies are dead. That old life is dead and buried, and these guys are raised to a new life in Christ. We take authority over every cycle of sickness right now. Every cycle of sickness that speaks of death and long-term illness, we cut that off right now in Jesus' name. Cancer, die right now in these bodies. I speak to the cells in people's bodies to be healed right now, to be restored and to be made clean and to be made whole. Speak to bodily organs right now to be healed, to be made whole. Blood to be come into order right now. We speak life and health into bodies right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you look into our eyes and you say, I like you. You look into our eyes and you say, I love you. Father, I thank you right now for a revelation of your love. A revelation right now, the Holy Spirit, something only you can do right at this moment. A revelation of your love, your acceptance. Father, I just thank you right now that wherever anybody has struggled to look at themselves in the mirror and say to themselves, I like you and I love you. I thank you for your freedom right now in Jesus' name. We just take authority over every lie that says you're unworthy, every lie that says you're not good enough. We break and tear down right now every destructive thought that is from the enemy's kingdom that says you're not worthy, you're not good enough. We tear it down right now in Jesus' name. And we declare over your life the freedom and the liberty of God, that your mind is renewed. Through the flow of the word in your life, the truth that sets you free, but through the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that he loves you, that he accepts you. He accepts you because you're in him and he is in you. You're not in yourself anymore in the old way. You are in Christ. If you know you've been in a season that you've been struggling with, I just want you to give him this season in your life right now. Just give it to him. But it might be, Father, I just give you this season right now. Just be honest with him. Tell him, Father, I've been struggling. I've not enjoyed it. This is hard work. I don't know what's going on in me, but Father, I just give you it right now. I choose to hand this season over. Father, I want to step into right now. I choose to step into the fullness of life that you have for me in this season. If you're a mum here and you know you've been struggling with the season that you're in some ways maybe you've been struggling with your kids or you just feel a sense of failure or you haven't done what you thought you should have done and they're not turning out the way you wanted them to, well, just hold it there in your thinking right now. And in yourself, just give up and say, God, I'm giving up right now to try and raise my kids in a way that I want them to be. Father, I just choose to give up in myself and ask you right now for that fresh outpouring of your grace, that in the power of your Spirit, you enable me with all the fruit of the Spirit to love, to give, to invest, to enjoy, to not worry, to not panic, to not strive, to try and make my kids or turn them out to how I want to be. I just put them in your hands, and I thank you for the grace right now to be the best mum in the world for my kids. I just break right now over any of the mums here, any sense of failure, any sense of despair, of wrong decisions or things. Well, if I'd just done that, that would have happened. We just cut all that off right now. And we just, in the name of Jesus, we we thank you. Father, I thank you for that you restore some months and even years where people think they've made mistakes and it's had an adverse effect on their kids. Well, we just cut all that off right now, and we just speak that restoration into those families, into those kids right now, into the marriages in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for a fresh buoyancy for all the mums here, particularly those responding. Just that man, I just love doing what I'm doing. You're just coming into something new. This season of time where you're just loving it, there's a grace for it, you're anointed for it, it's right where God wants you, and he loves it. And you see your kids as little oaks of righteousness, or if they're a bit bigger, bigger oaks of righteousness, just growing up, a planting of the Lord, and you're the one watering that, watching them grow, and he's like delight in them, because I delight in you as I watch you grow. Now you delight in your kids as you see them grow. And in the same way that you can take authority over things, do that with your kids as well when you're praying. You don't have to get uptight about it, but if you see things, just get in your little prayer room and say, right, I'm not having that in my kids. In the name of Jesus, I nip that out of the bud right now, cut that off right now, and instead go and plant a seed that's going to grow up into righteousness in them. Whatever our situation, if it's the workplace, just give that to the Lord right now. Ask him just to give you a fresh perception of your workplace. There's a grace to be where you are. That God, just say, God, change my heart. Do something in me now that's different. So I see the workplace is completely different than I did on Friday. That when I go in tomorrow, there's just a love for people. There's a joy in my heart. No matter what my boss is, whether he's a blessing in disguise and I haven't seen it yet, I'm going to see him as a blessing. Father, I thank you for the favor of God coming upon people right now. As they go into the workplace tomorrow, something of your kingdom life is going to be released into that place. And you're gonna, in one sense, hold people's mouths back from saying things that they've been saying last week. They're not going to be able to say them this week. I think you give favor in the workplace, in every situation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And just thank him for the season that you're in. Father, I thank you for the season that you have me in. The season that you have each one of us in. Father, I thank you. You say the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you came to give life, and life in all its fullness, or life in all its abundance. Or you said you came to give life and life overflowing. Father, I thank you that this season for every person here is an overflowing, abundant season in their life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Who came down this morning because of a sickness issue? Just raise one of your hands if it was for a physical. Can we just have one or two people, if you've got your hand up, just stand in front of these guys, just lay hands on them for a minute, will you? Somebody else over there? Somebody else have their hand up? Yeah, just somebody at the back. JD, can somebody just come and pray with this guy? Yeah. Just lay hands on their head. Just raise your hands for a minute. Anybody else down here? Yeah. Phil. You can... Thank you, Jesus. Just lay hands on our head, mate. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you right now for your healing grace. We just break every repetitive, recurring sickness that's been going on in these people's bodies. And we speak healing right now. Healing in Jesus' name. Healing right now. Healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Let's raise our hands, shall we? Let's just thank the Lord. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His grace. Thank you for His fulfillment in your life. Thank Him for His peace. Just thank Him that God wants to bring harvest into other people's lives because of the fruitfulness happening in your life. Thank Him that people are going to come and taste of what He is, who He is in your life. They're going to taste of Him in you and say, wow, I want this life that you have. There's something about your life, something about who you are. There's just something I want. I see it in you. I see it there. And instead of just seeing it there only, they're going to say, oh, I want that that you have. Father, I thank you for that overflowing, abundant life being released in this season. As this season becomes the greatest season that all of us have ever had in our lives to this date, we thank you, Father. We praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. You know, whatever seed you sow determines the fruit that will grow. And because for some, the perception you've had, you've seen yourself as maybe a one-talent person who's buried their thing, or you spoke negatively. In one sense, you've sown negativity or whatever it is into your season. And what we've just done is we've just uprooted all of that negativity. We've uprooted the failure, uprooted the fear, uprooted the guilt, uprooted the shame. We've uprooted that cycle of sickness. We've uprooted whatever it might be. Now, and so we don't want to go and replant those things and water them because we've uprooted them. So what we want to do now is sow into this season what God wants to grow. So that what we speak into our situations is life. So whatever God has spoken to you about this season, whatever words that He's given to you at this time, about your life that you're in, that's what you want to speak over your life. I mean, every day when you get up, you want to say, thank you, Father, for the season I'm in. I thank you that this is a fruitful season. It's fruitful in my relationships. It's fruitful in my friendships. It's fruitful in my workplace. It's fruitful in my family. It's fruitful in the life of the church. It's fruitful where, because I'm a fruitful person, everything is going to be fruitful. Amen. So that we don't give room for any little things to try and take root in any way. Amen. Amen. Just turn to somebody next to you. Look at them in the eyes. Say, I'm going to eat of the fruitfulness in your life. Don't necessarily, don't tell the person they're looking tasty, because that might have some other connotations, but just grab a seat. So I've gone over a bit of time.